Ravichandra Maharaj, can someone please go to his room and tell him we are all waiting for him to start the class? He is the senior most of us, so he should start. Someone going to get Ravichandra Maharaj? Who? Yes. Please tell him it's urgent. Everyone waits. Yeah, I think we have to go through a few minutes of austerity and just open the windows and please cover yourself nicely so that there is no problem. But we do need a little oxygen. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parabraja Kacharya Ashtatu Satasi Simadisti Vaingre Silabe Charanaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Shigaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Vier, elf, zwölf. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning's lecture is about a text in the fourth canto, chapter 11. It's text 12. Please repeat. Sa tvam harehe anujata pungsang api samataha. Sattvam hare anudyata. Satpungsam api samata. Api samata. Katam tvavadyam kritavan anukshiksham satam vratam. Katam tvavadya kritatvan.
Katam tvavadya kritatvan.
Anukshikshang satam vatam.
Anukshikshang satam vatam.
Satvam hare anutyatas.
Satvam hare anutyatas.
Tatpungsam api sammataha.
Tatpungsam api sammataha.
Katam tvavadyam kritavan. Anushikshang satam vratam.
Anushikshang satam vratam.
Satvam hare anutyatas.
Satvam hare anutyatas.
Tatpungsam api sammataha.
Tatpungsam api sammataha.
Katam tvavadyam kritavan. Anushikshang satam vratam.
Anushikshang satam vratam.
Yes, please, someone else.
Satvam hare anujyata.
Satvam hare anujyata.
Satpungsam api samata.
Satpungsam api samata.
Katam tvadyam kritavan.
Katam tvadyam kritavan.
Anushiksham satam vratam.
Anushiksham satam vratam.
I'm going to move the whole table.
Satam hare anujata. Satpum sam api samata. Kṛtavān Tatam tvavādyam kṛtavān Anu siksham satam vratam.
Ladies? Any ladies? Tam
tat pum samapi samata katam tvavajam kritavan anushiksham satam vratam satvam harer anujatam tat pum samapi samata katam tvavajam kritavan anu siksham satam vratam satvam harer anujata tat pumsan api samata satam tvavajam kritavan anu siksham katam vratam.
Okay, word for word.
Sa,
that person.
Tvam,
you.
Hare,
by the Supreme Lord.
Anujata,
being always remembered.
Tat,
his.
Pungsam,
by the devotees.
Api,
also.
Samataha,
esteemed.
Katam,
why?
To
them.
Avajam,
abominable.
Act.
Kritavan,
you have undertaken.
Anushikshan,
setting the example.
Satam,
of saintly persons.
Vratam,
a vow.
Okay, translation. Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord is always thinking of you, and you are always recognized by all his confidential devotees. Your life is meant for exemplary behavior. I am therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task? Can you repeat that? Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord.
Because you are a pure devotee of the Lord.
The Lord is always thinking of you.
The Lord is always thinking of you.
And you are also recognized.
And you are also recognized.
By all his confidential devotees.
By all his confidential devotees.
Your life is meant for exemplary behavior.
Your life is meant for exemplary behavior.
I am therefore surprised. Why have you undertaken such an abominable task? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee and was accustomed to always thinking of the Lord. Reciprocally, the Lord always thinks of these pure devotees who think of Him only 24 hours a day. As a pure devotee does not know anything beyond the Lord, so the Lord does not know anything beyond his pure devotee. Swayambhuva Manu pointed this fact to Dhruva Maharaj. Not only are you a pure devotee, but you are recognized by all pure devotees of the Lord. You should always act in such an exemplary way that others may learn from you. Under the circumstances, it is surprising that you have killed so many faultless yakshas. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Adha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Krishna Tvadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Ajayva Mevisatu Manasarajahansan Prana Prayama Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste A tough one to comment on, but of course, here we get some idea. Like Krishna told Durvasa Muni, the devotees are always in my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the devotees. So, when a devotee, Krishna reciprocates perfectly with everyone. So the demons who want to fight with Krishna, he fights with them. The all kinds of things. And for the pure devotee, Krishna is most concerned. So Dhruva is such a great devotee. He did such tapasya. And his original intention was just to get something material. But we can approach Krishna for any means, but if one really, really approaches Krishna, then when we finally contact Krishna, then they won't want anything else. Dhruva didn't want anything. But the Lord insisted, of course, that he take a benediction. So he wanted to always remember the Lord. So it's noticed here that that's what he's doing. So Manu is a little surprised. Of course, with someone like Dhruva, there's something more than it's just not like exactly ordinary anger. There was some mission of the Lord, some reason that it's stated at the end of all this. Manu tells them that these yakshas, you know, it was a will, they needed to be killed. They had some karma. But still he's chastising and reminding him that he should be more careful. That it wasn't all the yakshas that killed his brother. We see this idea of vengeance. It's very bad in the world. There's all these crazy wars going on, and many of them, it's just that idea of vengeance. Well, they attacked me. I was at some devotee's house once, and he turned on the BBC. It was in Israel, right after one of their skirmishes. So they interviewed the minister of something in Palestine, and he was speaking so convincingly that they've never done anything except try to protect themselves from the vicious attacks of the other guys. It's very convincing. Oh yeah, right, you know. And then they switched over and they interviewed the Israeli minister of something, and he said, you know, we're just reciprocating, and, you know, they attacked us first. It was very convincing. Both of them were completely convincing. And they both believe it, that, you know, that the other one did it first, just like little kids, you know. The brother and sister are fighting, and then the mother comes, well, he hit me first. And they both insist that. So that mentality is not very good. Even the Bible, it says, God says, vengeance is mine. It's not for us. We're supposed to be forgiving. Actually, the next verse, it says, the Lord is satisfied when a devotee greets people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. So the Sankirtan devotees learn that, right? That you can't go out and angry and insulting and criticizing everybody. But if you're very friendly and tolerant, that's one of the reasons, that's actually the main reason that monks in all traditions, and they do some sort of begging, because then you develop tolerance and you develop mercy, actually. You begin to see how much the conditioned souls are suffering. And you have to be friendly, treat everyone equally. Then we get the reciprocation. It's actually coming from Krishna. And Krishna's in the heart of everyone. So in all circumstances, and of course in dealing with devotees, and even more so, we have to take care of devotees. That's becoming a major topic. I saw Sachinandan Swami put a big article on Dandavats, right? After he went to Chaupati. And I'll just say, I have one. We have a committee now trying to think of how to care for devotees. And so the Chaupati devotees, they wrote up an 83-page document of all the things they're doing. Yeah. And then Radhanath Swami went over it and made it down to about 40 pages. And then the devotees in Tirupati made a PowerPoint presentation that's like just 15 or 25 little flashes. So if anybody wants that and you have a flash drive or something, I'll give it to you. And we have to take care of ourselves, spiritually, of course, so that we can have these good qualities. In the material world, there's many things to make. I know when I go for Sankirtan, when I haven't been going very much, it's very hard to feel compassionate for the people. At least my mentality, I think these stupid people just look at what they're, you know. And then, of course, nobody's very interested to meet me. And especially if they do meet me, they're not very interested to take a book. But as we become a little bit understanding and take shelter of Lord Nityananda, then Lord Nityananda was just all compassion and love. So he went every day, went to every house and would beg them, just chant Hare Krishna, just chant the holy name. That was all he asked. And he would roll on the ground in front of their house, and he wouldn't leave until they would chant. But even him, even Lord Nityananda, some people rejected. They'd get out of here. They said, you Vaishnavas are just a disturbance in society, saying, creating all kinds of trouble. So this chapter and this Leela is good lessons. All of the Dhruva, the whole story. Lord Chaitanya especially liked to hear about when he read the Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. He would read with Gadadhar Pandit every day, 3 hours. And he especially liked to hear about Dhruva. It said hundreds of times he read about Dhruva. The great determination, tapasya. And then, of course, he was a great king, Vaishnav king. So in one sense here, he's doing his duty as a Kshatriya to, you know, his brother was killed somehow or other, but he got a little carried away. So we have to be careful not to become disturbed with, you know, all the different things that happen. Sometimes I've seen devotees that go on Sankirtan and they're so nice to people, can't believe it. And then they come back to the temple and just push everybody around and get out of my way and give me this, give me that, you know. One Mataji asked Prabhupada, you know, we go on Sankirtan, we have to be a little aggressive, and then when we come back, and Prabhupada said, you have to be a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. When you come home, you've got to be... Of course, the aggression, we have to be aggressive when we're preaching, but doesn't mean violence or anything. It just means we have to have a lot of energy to keep busy, keep contacting people, and being really trying to give them Krishna, trying to give everyone Krishna. Then we get Krishna for ourselves. In order to do that, since I have a little time to speak, we also have to be, of course, we talk a lot about taking care of our own spiritual health. That's absolutely necessary. And in order to do that, we have to be careful about our material health also. Take care of the body. I don't know if devotees are still like we were, that, you know, we're not the body, and it's Maya to take care of your body, and, you know, it's Maya to, right, like she said yesterday, spend any money for, you know, a warm place to sleep or decent food. And devotees did some really crazy things, not based on, you know, what Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada, by his example, he took care of his body every day and massage and take a walk, and he was very careful what he was eating, and when he needed medicine, he would take it. So just things like every devotee, you want to do Sankirtan our whole life. We want to serve the Sankirtan movement. So we have to take care of the, just like we have to take care of the vans. There were many stories in the early days of devotees too busy to check the oil and things like that, and all of a sudden the engine melted. And then, and too busy to take care of the body. Many devotees never go to the dentist until their teeth are all rotting out or something. So we want to remind everybody, and especially temple leaders, make sure that everybody is, you know, getting checked out. All of us. One devotee, he was in Bombay, and he just went to the hospital for a routine checkup. He didn't have any symptoms of anything, and he found out his valve in his heart wasn't working. The blood was going, you know, going over one way and going back the other way. But he had no symptoms. He was full of energy and, you know, and doing everything. So we never know. And then if we're healthy, we can chant nicely. We can do our sadhana. We can, you know, follow all the programs. And then we can do everything else. So it's very important. And to hear the Bhagavatam is essential. It requires clear consciousness, have to be alert, and have to think about it deeply and hear it in the association of devotees. That's actually stated in the Bhagavatam, that we should hear it in the association of devotees. What did Chanakya Pandit said? You study with four or something?
Two?
Yeah, anyway, we're hearing the more devotees together, the more devotees we hear Bhagavatam from, because Krishna has an individual relationship with everybody. So everybody gets different things out of their relationship with Krishna. Everybody has wonderful realizations. So the more we come together, I see today there's Ishtagosti, and we discuss and we share our you know, realizations, and ask other devotees we meet, you know, what are your realizations, and then we gain so much. The Bhagavatam is Krishna, so it's unlimited aspects of, you know, understanding to be had, just like Krishna is simultaneously with everybody, and like in the Rasa dance, he's with all the thousands of gopis. They're all thinking Krishna is only with me. They don't see him with everyone else. I know in Prabhupada, when we were in class with Prabhupada, everybody would think, well, he was speaking right to me. <You know? laughs> And he was. Because Krishna is speaking through the heart, so it's for everybody, and everybody gets different realizations according to their, you know, their position within the, how we're getting out from our entanglement and how we're relating to Krishna, how we're serving Krishna, in all the different ways that one can serve Krishna. So it's a very wonderful thing, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada very kindly arranged that we have this class every day. He was very concerned. I remember one time in L.A., he was leaving in the morning. And Prabhupada was generally wanted to be very early to the airport. And he was really wanted to be very early. He didn't like to be rushing. And this time it was a little late, and temple leader went up and said, Prabhupada, we have to go, you know. And he said, well, I have to go for class. So they were surprised. So he came in and he gave very shortly. He just said, I'm going to Hawaii now for a few days. And I just want to tell everyone to go to Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. Then he said, who will be giving the class? And they said, and he said, okay, very good. And then he left. And then after a month or something, the devotees wrote him and said, Prabhupada, you said you were coming back in a few days. And he said, you have not reckoned with the day of Brahma. Different ways of looking at things. Brahma's day, we can't, you know, we can calculate, I guess, you know, trillions of years or something, but there's different perspectives on everything. So for Krishna, you know, everything, like for the whole universe, the whole life of Brahma, for Vishnu, Mahavishnu is just one breath. For Krishna, it's nothing. There's no consideration like that. So we're all serving Krishna, and he's giving us great mercy to have this intimate service of preaching, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the deity. Personally, Lord Nrisimhadeva is coming. Lord Jagannath, you know, cause us mercy. Jagannath is going all over the world. Rathyatras all over the world. Temples all over the world. Home temples all over the world. It's cause us mercy in the midst of Kali Yuga and rescuing people from the, you know, degradation of Kali Yuga, from all the anger and greed and lust and envy and, you know, unlimited sinful activities producing more and more of all these undesirable things. So devotees, we want to, you know, we want to control those things and focus all our energy. Can approach Krishna, yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti. Vatsalya moha guru govra sevya bhavai. Can approach Krishna in any, you know, with any kind of emotion, but has to be purified, to be utilizing it for the pleasure of Krishna, all our activities, and to think, is this pleasing to Krishna? So that we have deity worship, we have cooking, we have things where we know, okay, Krishna likes rasgulla, so we'll cook rasgulla, you know. Krishna likes kirtan, so we'll, he likes mridanga, he likes kartals, you know, he likes dancing with our hands in the air. So we're trying to do these things for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. We can know the pleasure of Krishna by the pleasure of the spiritual master, by pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. He taught us everything, basic, you know, formulas. So we just carry on. How can we please Krishna? We know that public chanting and book distribution especially is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and therefore pleasing to all the previous acharyas, and therefore we get great pleasure. I went out in London and I hadn't been out for a while and it was really cold. And like I described that street the other day with 10,000 people per hour going by and people from every country, and they're all in a big hurry because they're all so cold. And but I was feeling very blissful, and I was thinking, how can I feel blissful in this condition? This is not a nice condition at all. You know, usually I want a very comfortable weather, and I want a beach, and I want, you know, everything nice. Why am I feeling so happy? Then I realized, well, because Krishna is happy that I'm doing this, you know, that I'm trying to show people books or whatever. So therefore I feel, and I see all the devotees just, you know, so blissful looking, that, like this one boy that, he looked so blissful. He was saying, oh, it's really hard to stop people. And I agreed, nobody would stop for me. But for him, they were just coming up to see what he was doing because he looked so blissful. Because he'd been going out every day, all day. And he was in so much ecstasy that people just came to see what he was doing. Even though he had a big tilak and he had a bright orange dress, and people were just, you know, amazed. People that didn't even speak English, you know, they would listen to him very intensely and take books. So that Krishna is in the heart and he reciprocates. And when we do a little tapasya, we try to please him, then he tries to please us. But he has much more capacity to please us than we have to please him. We can do what, you know, what we have is very insignificant to offer to Krishna. But he has unlimited, he can give himself. That's what he wants to. He wants to give himself, but it's not cheap. So he tests us, and when we really try to give up everything for Krishna, give up our idea that it's all ours and we're the big shots, and Krishna gives himself to us. And we can learn. So we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have exalted devotees to share their realizations. But every devotee is exalted. Every devotee has personal realizations of Krishna, and we can learn from everybody. Prabhupada once, he said, Krishna has sent me many gurus. And I was thinking, what? You know, what is he talking about? And he said, my disciples. So that was his genuine realization as a Mahabhagavat, you know, Uttamadhikari, you know, that he's the lowest. But we learn from every devotee. When we preach and we see people taking up Krishna consciousness, coming out from Maya, and we learn so much about the mercy of Krishna and about the soul and, you know, their relationship with Krishna and how Krishna wants everybody. But we have to go out and on Krishna's behalf and let them know who they are. So we don't want to take too much time. We have something wonderful to hear from others. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj ki jai.
Straight.
Maybe it's good if we again open the windows for some oxygen. It's much easier.
No. Om Agyana Tinadandasya Gyanana Salakaya Taksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. During the day, we are collecting so many impressions that enter into our consciousness, and then at night, these things come together in our dreams, as the ingredients in our dreams, and then create different shapes and forms and so on. So I thought to speak about a dream I could have had yesterday. I didn't have it, but I could have. I guess it starts with Sankirtan devotees. What else? They were in a main shopping street. The weather was really not very encouraging. It was raining, buckets as we call it. It was cold also, extremely cold, a cold wind and rain, and that rain was cold and cutting in one's face. As I looked at the faces of the Sankirtan devotees, they were gritting their teeth to deal with these conditions, but they carried on, and I was impressed. Slowly, the view went down, and as the view went down, I got a glimpse of their lotus feet, which were of course packed in good Sankirtan shoes, right? Because well prepared for the marathon, they were decked out in serious jackets and had serious shoes. However, something unusual was there with these shoes. There was a lot of mud collected on the shoes, so much so that the devotees had a hard time to walk. Their steps were heavy because of all the extra kilos that were attached to their boots. And as such, they were walking through the street, facing the rain and trying to, here and there, courageously carry on. Oh, I was full of appreciation for these devotees. Oh. As it happens in dreams, dreams are not always continuous. You go from one situation in the next. It's sort of just like you get a picture and then it changes into a whole different situation. And next moment, all these people, these same devotees, I saw them walking on a muddy landscape, very muddy, plowing through the mud, right, in different ways. And some were even, had gone off the path in areas where the mud was very soft and was sinking down. But all were chanting the holy name and carrying on. They were. I respected them for their sincerity. And I was thinking that they are so much more sincere than I. They're making such a sacrifice. They struggle so much. It's difficult for them, and still they're doing it. Thus, I had feelings like Kavichandra Maharaj described. They are all my spiritual masters. I started thinking that this mud is actually the mud of sense gratification, the mud of material desire. And we are all struggling in the mud of our material desires, trying to somehow or other carry on courageously in our Sankirtan. And I felt, where will we find the strength? And then it flashed to me, I thought, that's where Mangal Paitan left me with his flying temple. Because he put me through a washing machine and in the end sort of through the ringer, and then suddenly in front of Srila Prabhupada with a great transcendental instruction, it's all in these words, it's all in these books, it's in every word, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books, but how to do it with mud on the boots, and how to do it when actually the heart is affected and when we are going down into the mud, and some deeper than other. Is Krishna consciousness a desperate cry in a very difficult struggle with the material energy? A desperate cry to carry on Sankirtan as a big personal fight? I guess, yes, we have to fight our fight. But who can fight all the time, right? If spiritual life is just a battle only from the beginning until the end, then what is our chance? We are not like Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows and still completely peacefully giving transcendental knowledge. One arrow is enough for us. Call an ambulance, please. Where's my therapy? Where is my support? I know what one little arrow can do in one's life. So, what is our strength? So, they asked me, did you like the play? And I thought, like, what shall I say now? What shall I say? Did I like it? I said, yeah. wasn't as bad as last year, wasn't it? Well, last year wasn't that bad, but the problem was last year and again this year, there was no solution. He left us in the mud. We didn't come out, I felt. I felt left in the mud, so I thought, where do I go? Right? And thus, in my dream, I was there. And I was thinking that, yeah, then the whole thing changed again, completely. Suddenly, a wonderful temple. Suddenly, a beautiful place. A place where the Lord is completely in the center. A place where I could try to go before the Lord and pray to become a saintly person, a sadhu. I think in this Dhruva Maharaj narration in the Bhagavatam, I think that we are looking at the character of a sadhu in Dhruva Maharaj, more than anything, a sadhu. And when he slightly, for a moment, sort of slipped away, he was pulled back to that platform of the sadhu. And I think, I was thinking, the last word has to be with the sadhu. It has to be, right? That's where it ends, with the sadhu. Because a sadhu has to pull off all the layers of illusion and has to situate himself in the truth, in his real position, his position of being at Krishna's lotus feet. Savai Krishna Pada Padaravindayo, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. One has to fix the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Very difficult, because in our spiritual life we have mud on our boots. That is the difficulty. That is why everything is a struggle. That is why everything is a little less. But rather than spiritual life being from that platform, it should be from the other platform. And I was thinking, we cannot just sit at Prabhupada's feet and just marvel and just glorify and just say, he is so great. Of course, without a doubt. Even when we try to describe his greatness, Prabhupada is actually greater. Then the greatest appreciation we can ascribe to him, Prabhupada is much greater than we can conceive. There's no doubt about that. But if that's all we do, that's not enough. We have to change. And I was thinking about Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the verse, Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadoya Pushpadanta Chitrasando Tamunado. How the sun and moon of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, has appeared simultaneously on the horizon. So, this is one of the opening verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the 14 verses of the Mangala Charan, where in a condensed way, the essence of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is captured. And then we find that this is in 14 verses, this Mangala Charan. These verses then are explained in the next 7 chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the first chapter, we get an explanation of this verse. At the end of the first chapter, this verse is explained. And it is explained that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are particularly trying to drive out the 5 types of nescience which cover the living being, yes, where he thinks that He is the body where he thinks that sense gratification is the standard of enjoyment, where he thinks that maybe there is something more than devotional service, and such kind of thoughts are still there within his heart, that this nescience is driven away by the two Bhagavats, by the book Bhagavat and by the person Bhagavat. And I thought, this is the key. I thought, this is Mangal Parton part two, right? I thought, this is where it carries on, yes? Because I thought, it can't stop there. I said, no, it's not going to stop with last night giving us caricatures, a caricature of devotees in early days, acting very transcendental. I still see the picture of Mahaprasadam, and God knows what he was having, this gluey stuff, right? And Krishna Chaitanya is an incredible actor, and his face with that light, and then that horrible, slimy stuff, right? And just going, Mahaprasada, right? And it was Lord Chaitanya's movement, the movement of transcendental madness, but it was sort of lacking a little bit in transcendence, and thus it became a little bit maybe on the slant of madness and a little lacking transcendence, and it therefore looked like maybe not completely there. Then we went to education. There were glasses and discussions, and I was thinking again that, no, we can't leave it at this. Sabda pare chanisnatam brahmani upasamasrayam. We must bathe in transcendental sound non-stop all the time. Otherwise, immediately the mud sticks. Again, the mud will stick. Right? And if we are not regularly chanting, not regularly reading these books, not rapidly bathing in transcendental sound, we sink in the mud, and our material desires become stronger day by day, and we start to meditate on sense gratification, and then we stand out there on the street, and we just feel like, how can I do this? Or early in the morning, we are there with our rounds, and think, again, 16 rounds. God, I just finished 16 yesterday. Will it ever end? And then some devotees say, will you ever finish your rounds? This is part of the dream again. No, you will never finish your rounds. It goes on eternally. We are not sure if that's what we really want. Eternally. Like this. I'm thinking. Then suddenly flash at the feet of Prabhupada. But yes, I remember a story of our Manidhar. Who doesn't remember a Sankatan story of our Manidhar? I think everybody does here. And the story that I remember is when Manidhar told how the devotees were going to the Bhaktivedanta Manor to meet Prabhupada there during his very last visit, when Tamal Krishnamurti tried to sort of bring some new life, and although Prabhupada is very, very ill. And so that time everyone in the manor was tiptoeing in quiet, and Manidhar, as he describes it, Preetu has a slightly different remembrance of the same pastime, I know that. But as Manidhar remembers it, they arrived in the manor, and it was, everyone was going, shh, Prabhupada is not well. And the Germans, you know, they came in, yes, we are the Sankatan devotees, the number one yatra in the world, which they were at that time. Right? And the devotee said, shh, Prabhupada is not well. He said, no, we are the Sankirtan devotees. Prabhupada surely will want to meet us and will want to hear from us. It will give him new enthusiasm. Yes, you ask him. So they went. And yes, Srila Prabhupada agreed. And then, of course, they were invited in the room. And Manidhar, as he saw it, he saw that Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. And that he was sitting in Vaikuntha, and that as they entered into the room, that they were on the walls of Vaikuntha and got a glimpse of Vaikuntha to the other side, just over the wall for a moment. Yeah. That's how he saw. He just saw the spiritual world is right here. Prabhupada is there. For a moment, we also see it. Yeah. That is actually sadhu. A sadhu is a Vaikuntha man or woman. A sadhu has to be on that platform. A sadhu is with Krishna always and every moment, and never is there a time that a sadhu is not with Krishna. That is the meaning of sadhu. Thoroughly honest, thoroughly living in the truth. It has to come to that for everyone. It's not good enough to just be here. It's not good enough to come to the festival and to hope that it's going to be a good one and that we're going to get some inspiration that will keep us going till the next festival. It's not good enough. That I call the slow leaking tire. You know about these car tires that are leaking, but you can still drive if you pump them up all the time. So, and then everyone is hoping, my guru didn't come for 3 months. I hope he comes fast. A flying guru comes in and pumps up the leaking tire of our enthusiasm. And again we go, yes, yes, yes. It was a great festival. Sachinandi Swami did flying somersaults in the kirtan. Kavi Chandamaraj came out with some good ones. The pujaris did fabulous pujas with lots of smoke and lots of flames. I mean, it was totally ecstatic. The prasadam was great, totally enlivened. It will last at least 1 month. But thank God. We have fulfilled our purpose. We drove all the way through the cold winter to the Sankirtan festival. And here we are. And we are again enlivened. Ki jai. Again, I thought, it cannot be this. It cannot be this. So then I was thinking, well, I guess I also came here in that mood. It's nice. Kavi Chandamaraj was generous with me. He rang me up from London and he said, so where you gonna be? He said, I'll come over. And he did, you know. And then he sort of adopted me now. Which is my good fortune, actually, to be in some transcendental association. So, I'm coming to the end, of course. But I was thinking, here we are in this festival, and whatever we took from it, we took from it, and it was nice. But is it enough? Maybe not completely enough, because maybe we haven't made the internal change, at least of vision. We may not be able to change our heart in a second. We cannot just, when there's mud on the boots, it doesn't just go automatically. You have to actually take it off, and it's work, you know. It goes into all kinds of corners, and you have to rinse it off and scrape it out, and it's a trip and a half to get all that mud off. And some people say, well, you know, I think it's good enough like this. You know, what can you do? But no. It cannot be done in a moment. But still I'm thinking, it's not too late. Not too late to fulfill our purpose of being here. Our purpose of going before our Lord. He's generous. He's come in various forms. He's here as Lord Nrisingadev in his home. He's invited, also Lord Jagannath. And it's time to pray. It's time to to try to meet him. It's trying to actually try to meet him and stay there. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. To stay fixed at his lotus feet and to walk away from here, fixed at his lotus feet, then it doesn't matter where we are. Then we are always with Krishna. Then we are Vaikuntha men. And then when we walk in the muddy material world, our feet don't sink anymore. And our boots are not collecting any mud. Then we are transcendental. Then we are Sankirtan man. Then the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat has become united. Then we will drive away this nescience from our own heart, from the hearts of the people in the world. And then this book distribution will go on. And then these books will make devotees. Because that's what we care about. We don't care about book points and all that. We care about devotees. That these books make devotees. And that we start thinking like that. Because a sadhu is the instrument of the mercy of Krishna. Titiksava karunika suridam sarvadeinam. He is tolerant. He is merciful. The friend of all living beings. He has no enemies. These are some of the ornaments, sadhu bhushan, of the sadhu. So we hope, we are here to become sadhus. Sachinandan Maharaj, whenever he performs initiations, he does this thing of sankalpa, you know, where he gets like the people to tie a thread around their wrist. A thread is tied around the wrist of the candidate, and while it's being tied, they have to meditate on what is the purpose of this initiation. So let our sankalpa, what is the purpose of our being here? So let us meditate for a moment. What is the purpose of our being here? And a sadhu collects lots of wealth, many ornaments, sadhu bhushan. Thus, we are looking forward to hear more. We got jewels from Kavichanda Maharaj. Now we are waiting for Sachinanda Maharaj to share some jewels with us because he is a collector. He is a nectar hunter. He has many treasures. And he always used to do it in his little gingerbread house, as we call it in Aventoya, where he used to, with that funny staircase, with his weird steps, you know, like one up and one down, supposed to be very healthy, and then you get upstairs, and then he has so many things. And this is on for your head, a sword of Lord Nrisingadev, and here is a yantra, you touch that, and here is some mercy. Like that. So we hope that today he will be in his most generous mood and shower us with all the stuff that he doesn't so easily share with others, but that he keeps for himself. That's what we want. His real secrets. Not the external, mercy that he's collected from here and there, but the real thing from deep inside. That's what we want. Hare Krishna.
Kadamba Khana Maharaj ki, Kavichanda Maharaj ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Go. Hare Krishna, I don't know how well I will do after Kadamba Khana Maharaj shared with us a digestion of the impressions he
collected. And he encouraged us basically that, yes, we should touch the transcendental platform in Krishna consciousness. It's high time, it's necessary to be in connection with the transcendental platform. And I believe Kavichanda Maharaj gave us many insights in Srila Prabhupada's transcendentalism when he said, yes, I said I would come after a few days, but you don't know the days of Brahma. This is a transcendentalist answer. So the gist of my presentation today is touching really on these two points. Devotional service can be performed in two ways. And this is very important. It's a little technical and philosophical. The entertainment will come in a few minutes, but you will really have to concentrate now. Devotional service can be performed in relationship with the world, and devotional service can be performed in relationship with Krishna, with sambandha to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, we hear Kapila Muni's description of devotional service, and there he says, what is devotional service in connection with the world, and what is devotional service in connection with Krishna? I believe yesterday, in this highly thought-provoking presentation, for which I'm very grateful, I think it really gets us thinking and even dreaming about our lives. This is what art is meant to do. It gets us going. It opens a space in us where we have to think now. So yesterday we saw a lot of devotional service in relationship with the world, or to express it in more Krishna conscious terms, we saw a lot of devotional service in relationship with Tamagun and Rajagun. We saw a little bit of Sattvagun when there was the selfish nectar hunter who was conversing with the educated, arrogant person. We saw devotional service in relationship to the world, or in our Kadambakanana Maharaj's words today, we saw devotional service with mud on the boots and even mud on the whole body. Lord Kapila Dev describes this in Bhagavatam 3, 29th chapter. He says to his mother, noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities, you know, material qualities, in terms of the different kinds of mud which sticks to the executor. Then he will describe to us devotional service in the mode of ignorance and in the mode of rajas. Would you like to hear what devotional service is in the mode of ignorance? How a person who is ignorant, who has this dark black mud all over his body feels. He is often proud of himself. We are the best. He is often envious on the successes of others who do better than him. His envious nature and proud nature can really accumulate, and then he can sometimes be violent and angry. That is someone who's in the mode of darkness. don't know if he eats also this slimy sweet. Some of it is even maybe on a still higher platform than some of what we saw yesterday. Would you like to know how you feel when there is red mud all over you, the mode of passion? You want to have sense gratification in what you do. You want to have fame and be recognized. And you also covet opulence. You want opulence. Now, all these types of devotional service, I don't want to go so much into sattva-gun because that is very rare in this age of Kali, devotional service in the mode of sattva-gun, but it also has the same motivation as the other two. All these devotional service where you have a relationship with the world, where you have not really made contact with Krishna, that devotional service is described with one Sanskrit word. It is called binadrik. Binadrik means the person who acts on this level, this worldly bhakti or tinged bhakti. Huh? He is a separatist because he does not act in the interest of Krishna. He separates himself from the vision to please Krishna, but he acts for the interest of himself. He's separated from Krishna. I once had an amazing example when I packed the car to go on a preaching tour, and we were standing before the temple of Cologne. And I don't know, maybe I must have been dressed in a dark shadow. At least I didn't look so much like a devotee. So a person came to us, came there and said, is here the place of the sect? And I looked at him. And I could see him as a possible danger when he would be shaved up. So I said, and I'm not aware of a place of a sect, but here is the temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is also known as the Hare Krishna movement. Yes, 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 I want to go there. I said, why? And he said, there are women and there is food. I said, "Oh, you should be informed that your information is incomplete. I just come from there to please Krishna. You will have to get up at 3:30, or if you are late at 3:45 in the morning. The women which are there don't even look at you because they think you are an illusion. You won't have any strong chances there." At least not to my knowledge. Sometimes they don't give you food if you don't behave well. I really don't think it's a place for you. No, I didn't say this. I wanted to test him. I waited for his reaction. Are you serious? We have to get up and yes, and do service the whole day for Krishna's pleasure. You have to make a relationship with Krishna. Then I told him, go inside and find out for yourself. But ask them for these things if they are true. Tell them Sachinandan Swami told you. Then I went and I didn't know what I didn't see him shaved up, and I was thinking. So, my dear devotees, this is called binadrik, you have a separate interest. You don't get the point. You are in your own world, the world of the gunas, your own conditioned nature. And yes, there are many, many embarrassing things which are done in the mode of ignorance and sattva. Rajas. Let me now describe to you what happens when this separation from Krishna is removed and you actually do devotional service for Krishna in what is called sambandha, in a relationship for Krishna, no longer in separation from Krishna. It's very interesting. What you do at that time or what you approach at that time is described by Prabhupada as the principle, let me get this right, at the basic principle of spiritual advancement. The moment you accept the basic principle of spiritual advancement, you will see how this separated vision is removed and you make contact. You come in contact. You are actually connected. You are starting to act on the spiritual platform and you will feel blissful and you will not act like that person who stood before the temple of Cologne and wanted women and food and no idea of service and so on. First here, what Prabhupada describes is the principle, the basic principle of spiritual advancement. I think you know it already, but it's very nice how he says it. It is especially mentioned here, Prabhupada said, one should chant the holy names of the Lord. This is now your time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should chant either individually, how do we call this? Japa, right? Or with others, how do we call that? Kirtan, you know everything. Lord Chaitanya has given special stress to chanting of these holy names of the Lord as the basic principle of spiritual advancement. So, someone who accepts to learn to chant properly, I will talk a little bit later on what is proper chanting, but someone who accepts, I wish to learn to chant properly, to give Krishna pleasure, he will remove that embarrassing wall and he will actually begin to taste Krishna consciousness in relationship to Krishna. You can taste Krishna consciousness in relationship to the world. There's also some taste. Bhakti is also something nice. Therefore, many times you see the old devotees, if you ask them to speak, what will they speak about? The good old times when they really felt well. I think we should, anyways, I don't go in this direction. So, to chant properly, what is that? What would we have to learn to do this? I want to request those who are a little asleep still to now is the important part of the presentation, and I will go fast through it. Jiva Goswami describes that there are two types of chanting. One is just chanting, somehow or other doing it, or like Kadama Kanana Maharaj so nicely said it, you know, this mood of now again, 16 rounds, I just did it yesterday. I will never ever complete this Sisyphus activity, and so on. So that's just chanting, to somehow just do it. The other Jiva Goswami is to chant with affection. When do you have affection? Well, it's when you make a relationship with Krishna. You may not immediately start with taste or rati, but you will have something like gratitude, or you will at least call out to Krishna, save me, Krishna. Like Krishna Chaitanya says in his prayers, Ayinanda Tanuya, we should chant as if we are drowning in the ocean and calling out to Krishna to be saved. Prabhus, if you chant with relationship with Krishna, then you will make spiritual advancement. If you chant with relationship with the world, with the gunas, being in your own little world and not having Krishna there, you won't make spiritual advancement. You may taste something, but it's not yet what is promised in the Shastras, what the scriptures want to bring us to. I would like to now make it simple by giving you an example of a devotee who first chanted in relationship to the world and then chanted in relationship to Krishna. And you will see what a difference came in this devotee. Our devotee is Draupadi. Our story starts in Hastinapur. Indraprastha. And Krishna comes to visit Draupadi, the Pandavas, like he frequently did. So Draupadi brought him fruits on a plate and a knife to cut the fruits. And the Lord very deliberately took the knife, took a fruit in his hand, and by looking lovingly at Draupadi, cut the fruit and cut into his finger. Draupadi immediately took her sari and went like and then said, Lord, for your bandage. And Krishna smilingly put the bandage on his finger. Then he looked at Draupadi and said, Draupadi, now, first of all, you must know that this sari was not like a sari which you can see on any ISKCON Mataji. It was a queen's sari with gold and silver. It was extremely expensive. And some say it was her marriage sari, which in the Mahabharata, it doesn't mention that. It was a costly sari. And as you know, women are attached to saris. So Draupadi did not really consider her own interest. She just or waited to maybe call for another bandage. She just, out of love, tear her sari asunder and gave it to Krishna. Krishna said, Draupadi, for this gift of a sari, I will repay you in millions of saris one day. Do you know what Krishna had in mind? Yes. Good. When the time came where Krishna was about to repay Draupadi, it was a very traumatic event. Draupadi, who was in her moon phase, you all know the story well enough so that I can abbreviate it for you, was violently pulled into the assembly of the Kauravas, and an attempt was made by Dushasan to strip her naked. Draupadi, who was born out of the flame on the sacrificial altar of Drupad, was actually there was a Frauenschändigung was attempted, you know. It was a molestation of her dignity as a woman. So Draupadi, at that moment, looked for help. But first she looked for help in the world. She chanted the holy names in relationship to the world. She chanted Krishna, but then went, Bhishma, save me. Dronacharya, save me. Kaurava, save me. This is an injustice. It will constantly spell misfortune over your dynasty. Stop this. Don't allow that I will be stripped naked. Nothing happened. As she continued to appeal to the different kings and everyone, as she tried to defend herself on her own, nothing happened. Dushasan, who had the strength of 10,000 elephants, was just pulling the cloth away from her delicate body. Finally, Draupadi turned to Krishna. Totally. She just gave up her own her relationship to the world by throwing her own self-defense in the air and just calling, "Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
Hey Gopal!
Hey Gopal!
Oh Janardhan!" And she actually chanted the holy names of the Lord. And when she did like that, then something happened. Krishna came, opened his hand, and repaid the gift of the Zari a millionfold. Now, the Zari material just kept streaming out of the hand of the Lord. So this is really what Kapila Dev also says. What is chanting in relationship to Krishna? Or what is devotional service in relationship to Krishna? He says, another challenge on your concentration. Please concentrate hard. You can do it. The manifestation of unadulterate devotional service, you know, when you do the bhakti, which is free from this mud, huh, of tamas, rajas, and even sattva, the manifestation of this devotional service is exhibited. Here comes now the symptom. When one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Now he gives an example, because this is difficult for us to understand. What? We should be attached to... What was it again? I've forgotten everything. Let me hear again. We should be attached to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Lord who's residing. Now an example. This attachment is like the water of the Ganga, which flows naturally down towards the ocean. Such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Prabhus, I must admit, this is a little difficult. You have to read it on your own. It's difficult. But Prabhupada here says, in his purport, he said, the word, he picks an important word now, of what is transcendental devotional service. He says, the word ahaituki means without reason. This means that there is no reason for your own world to continue. You actually connect with Krishna and want to give pleasure to Krishna. You are no longer just chanting in your practice of chanting, but you are chanting with affection. You're no longer out on Sankirtan because you have to do it or it's chic to do it, but you are doing it because you want to please Prabhupada and help the conditioned sword. Huh? You are no longer in the Hare Krishna movement because there are... I mean, I don't want to repeat the example of the man in Cologne. I don't think any one of us is on that level. I just can't imagine. So it would be an offense against all of you. You are not here to just continue with your own your own little life. You are willing to really transfer your consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness, which is some work, let me see, the work of surrender. So this is, oh Krishna, what I wanted to to say in brief. I have something else, but the time is out. The time is gone. Thank you very much for listening to me. I know you are exhausted. I do hope some secret came to you. To say it in one word, think about your relationship for Krishna. Act in your relationship to Krishna, and you will begin to come on the transcendental platform, and you will actually become happy and well nourished in your devotional service. The problems of the world won't stop. Some karma will come. But because you are in relationship to Krishna, you are so strong that all this falls away from you, and you will be very, very, you will be chanted and be happy in Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
You want me to?
No, what now? Or what? Is it a good time to stop maybe?
Questions. You and Mangalmai is the master of ceremonies, I've been told. So, yeah, then that will be very nice. Questions or some comments? I mean, first of all, we'd like to impressions, you know, some responses from the senior Vaishnavas.
I would like to ask Satchinanda Maharaj, if he can give some examples of chanting with a relationship, in a relationship with Krishna.
The question is, can we have some examples of relationship, chanting in relationship to Krishna? There are three points, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which help you to do that. First is, you become aware. First is that you become aware when you chant that Krishna is not different from the holy name. Just go through this. Just Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. We all know the shloka. Just as you sit down, don't just go, oh my God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. What's the time now? No, just Krishna's name is important. It's not different from the Lord. Second stage of chanting in a relationship with Krishna. Meditate about the meaning of the holy name. We all know the meaning. O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. Prabhupada gave a short sutra of this, and he said, please accept me. Just, this is the idea. You want to connect. You want to be accepted. The third step, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in this Nam Bhajan, this composition of his, is to chant with heart-rending lamentation. Rending means to tear apart. It's something, a heart-rending thing is something which touches you, where you are in contact with the heart. It's a heart thing to chant from the heart. And Mahaprabhu has given this very powerful shloka. Ayinanda tenuya kinkaram. No, my dear Lord, I'm your servant. Please pick me up. So these are three aids, or helps, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. Sit down and then think first, what am I doing here? Krishna's name is, I'm taking Krishna's name. It's a name which is not different from the Lord. Then, what is the meaning of this, all this? You know, and then, your own position, call out from the heart. And you will find something. You will find a response. I would recommend you to write it down as soon as you get a piece of paper, because we might forget.
There
Yes, Vaijanath.
Yes, the mud story.
It's for you.
No.
Very nicely, in very nicely, related by Kalabakanana Maharaj, how we as devotees walk around with mud on our feet. And we talk to this material attachment to Kulaka. The story of Dhruva Maharaj, after he had his full realization, he was still kind of condemned to rule over the world for 36,000 years. So I would like to know what was his recipe, that this attachment which he had to deal with, you know, this material involvement he had to deal with, how this was not mud on his boots, but how he, you know, how he converted that into all devotional service, since most of the devotees at one period of their lives will have passed through a stage where they are not alone, you know, just being able to open their arms to Krishna, but they will also have to take care of other living entities or be merciful to other living entities, maybe maintain them. So these attachments, they have to come to a higher stage. How can we dedicate?
I think your question is very nice. It's like in itself a statement rather than a question, because you have really touched upon a very deep point, that we cannot just turn away and it's Krishna only. And in one sense, we are remaining in this world, and we are Ghosti Anandis, not Bhajan Anandis. The Bhajan Anandi who is going deeper and deeper in discovering Krishna and in discovering his relationship with Krishna. And obviously more and more acting for the pleasure of Krishna. That is the relationship. It's about serving Krishna. Chanting in relationship to Krishna. I like one statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says that that Lord Chaitanya never considered himself the master of chanting the holy name, but rather he considered himself a servant in the matter of chanting the holy name and offering it to the Lord. So the Bhajan Anandi is concerned with his own personal relationship with Krishna as a servant. But the Ghosti Anandi is living in the association of so many people and develops also relationships with people. It's not only the householders, but everyone, every Vaishnava is meant to carry many others. And a family man may carry a family, but if we are not having heartfelt relationships with others, then we remain misers. Then we are not fully magnanimous in the spirit of Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavananyaya. So the Ghosti Anandi is actually living in the midst of others with heartfelt relationships, and that brings lots of trouble, obviously. And Prabhupada spoke of his headache, and we can see, and it's amazing how he lived with those hippies in New York. So we must become very generous. And I was thinking that Vaishnav generosity is not just sacrificing one's possessions, sacrificing whatever he has, but completely giving himself. So, but yet, live in that relationship with Krishna. And someone, when he asked the question, how can we chant in our relationship with Krishna, naturally, he asked the Satchinanda Maharaj, but naturally I also thought about it. And I was thinking that, well, in Sambandha, When we look at it from the perspective of Sambandha, then we're becoming aware of that relationship, that it is there and that we should have it. In Abhideya, we try to, which is the process, we try to cultivate that relationships in different way. But in Prayojan, if we live in it all the time, and that we can do right away. Thus one can be a family member and one can just live in the relationship with Krishna as much as possible. The mud on our boots may interfere with that a little bit. But still, if the spirit is there, we are with Krishna right now. That's it. And now is always. In the spiritual world, there is only ever present. Krishna is ever present. We are always with him. So I think one who meditates like that, either in quiet moments or in public moments, is always Krishna and is always an instrument of Krishna. Does a householder becomes the spiritual master of his family members? And thus, everyone should be a spiritual master, right? And in this way, deliver the entire world. Prithu's favorite verse. Yaradikatarkaha. Krishna Upadesh. Amaragyaya. Guru Tarayadesh. Instruct everyone about the glories of Krishna and then deliver the entire world. Anyway, that's maybe some thoughts of mine. But maybe Kavichandra Maharaj has thoughts. He does.
Like Manu was telling Dhruva, you know, you're always thinking of Krishna. So if we're doing whatever the service is for the pleasure of Krishna, you know, under the guidance of the spiritual master, then it's not material attachments. If we're thinking, how can I get some pleasure for myself? How will I get some aggrandizement for doing this service nicely or whatever it is? Then it's mud. And it can become very, very heavy. We've seen many devotees that were doing what seemed spectacular things, you know, as far as expanding and doing this and, you know, preaching very nicely. But if we get attached to that, yes, I'm doing this and everybody is recognizing that I was the best student in the Bhakti Shastri, and, you know, I have my certificate on the wall, and then it becomes very heavy, mud. And so that's how that works. That's what I was thinking. Because, you know, Prabhupada was so much in the world doing so many things expertly, but it was all for Krishna. It was all just to, you know, please Krishna by getting more and more people contacted with Krishna, really 100%. They just become more and more liberated. All right? Keep it short. And I was thinking about this chanting, you know, in relation to, how was it? Chanting, what was the question about chanting in relation to Krishna? Yeah. When I was watching that DVD from the BBT, they had the microphone, and one devotee was far away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Oh, excuse me, you know, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So he was chanting for Krishna, you know. Obviously, he was just praying that somebody would take a book and completely depending on Krishna. We probably all do that sometimes. I do it sometimes. You know, not all the time, but when we do that, it works. And, you know, any service, taking care of the deities, that's Krishna. Chanting while we're cooking or whatever. It's for Krishna. Very nice.
The sentence of ends, Maharaj.
You want to do more? Yeah. We're finished, right?
Just say thank you.
Yeah. Thank you? Oh. Danke. I don't know what other languages we have here. Grazie.
Voilà.
Grazie. What's Czech for thank you?
I don't see it.
Jacui. Yeah, okay. And whatever else is there. Danyavat.
You didn't have German yet.
I said Danke first. Oh, yeah.
Dutch you didn't have.
What's Dutch?
Bedankt.
Bedunga. Bedungat. Bedung. Almost the same, right? How many Dutch are here?
It's a small country.
One is enough. They're very powerful. Kiitos. Kiitos is from Finland. Kiitos. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Say something.
The prasadam will be served in two groups, and please take care if you leave after prasadam that you are in the first group, because it will be take time that the second group will be on. No? If you go, please stay here. If you go after prasadam, or you have to go, please stay here and take prasadam first. Thank you.
Sorry, I guess he means those who are on the first shift after prasadam, please leave. No, I didn't.
What he means is those people who are leaving the farm.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the ones who are leaving the farm today and who are going home, they should take prasadam first. And the ones who are staying for the festival, they should take in the second shift. Hare Krishna.
Mit dir gesprochen. Ja. Ich denke, wenn wir jetzt...
Maibo, we are looking for Bhakta Mark. Bhakta Mark, who's a friend of Patrick Nikish. Is Bhakta Mark here? Does anybody know Bhakta Mark? Friend of Patrick Nikish.
I think he left yesterday.
Nikki.
I think he left. Er ist schon gefahren.
Nikki, wollen wir was sagen hier?
Mark ist, glaube ich, schon gefahren.
Wohin?
Du möchtest auch los, oder? Thank you.